grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from
our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading, our Lord Jesus tells the parable of the weeds and the wheat, or some of us might remember it as the parable of the wheat and the tares. A farmer plants good wheat seed in his field, and while his men are sleeping, an enemy comes and plants over it again with bad seed, tares or darnel, a kind of nasty, weedy grass. And when the plants come up and the grain begins to show, the landowner's servants notice that there are tares growing with the wheat. The owner knows that he planted good seed and that his enemy has tried to sabotage his crop by planting the weeds. His servant's inclination is to go through the field at once to pull out the tares, but the landowner wants to protect all the wheat, which would be uprooted in that process. So instead, he will wait until the harvest and have the reapers do the sorting, bundling up the tares to be burned and gathering the wheat into the barn. That's the parable. The disciples cannot understand this parable on their own, so they very wisely ask Jesus to explain it to them. And Jesus explains that the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, that is, Jesus himself. And the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom, that is, Christians. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, meaning all who do not believe in Jesus. The enemy who sowed the weeds is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, that is, the last day, judgment day. The reapers are angels. At the end of this world, when this age is done and our Lord Jesus returns in glory to judge the living and the dead, as we just confessed in the Creed, then the wicked will be separated from the righteous. The angels will throw the wicked into eternal fire, where there will be terrible anguish. But the righteous, Jesus says, will shine like the sun in the sky in the kingdom of their Father, God. Let's first say or lay out some of the basic facts that are taken for granted in this parable. First of all, there are only two categories of people, wheat or weeds, those who will shine like the sun in heaven and those who will sorrow away in hell. And there is nothing in between. Second, there is a devil. He is not an imaginary figure, but he indeed exists. And he is the enemy who wants to ruin the kingdom of God as much as he can. Third, there are angels, as Jesus mentions in this story, and they obey the orders of their Lord, our Savior, Jesus. Fourth, this age will come to an end and there will be a day of judgment. And at that judgment, the unbelieving will not be annihilated, but they will suffer ongoing anguish where they will weep and gnash their teeth. There is a hell. But the main point of Jesus' parable is that those wicked, unbelieving people can even be found in the church. The weeds are planted among the weak. The devil works in the church. He especially works when the servants of the Lord are sleeping. Did you catch it in the parable, verse 25? While his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. It is when we are not alert and on guard that the devil sneaks into the church to plant his seeds. The devil plants weed seed of false teaching, that is, things that are contrary to the Bible. He does this so that the pure gospel of forgiveness in Christ is hampered or lost altogether. For instance, when it is falsely taught that baptism does not save, or that the body and blood of Jesus are not truly present with the bread and wine and communion, those false teachings hamper the gospel, for these are the ways that the gospel of forgiveness in Jesus is applied to individuals. In fact, every false doctrine, everything contrary to God's word, the Bible, ultimately undermines the gospel, which is the core of all biblical teaching. But the devil also plants other weeds of sin in the church. He plants the tares of bickering, bitterness, pride, envy, self-righteousness, power plays, gossip, and I'm afraid the list could go on, right? Such things as these that root themselves in the congregation, mutating people who should be wheat, who trust in Jesus, into weeds, which spread and crowd out the love and good works that should be harvested in the church. So, pastor especially, but also the laity, should be constantly on guard against the enemy, alert to keep out false doctrine from the church. But each individual also must be alert to his or her own sins, the inclinations to gossip or envy or self-righteousness or whatever, so that we constantly repent of our sins, that we constantly return to Jesus for our forgiveness, and we constantly pray the Holy Spirit to renew us. But even when we're on the alert, the devil is a sneak and a snake, and he squeezes in at every opportunity, so that no congregation or church is entirely free from the tares he plants. Most every congregation is beset with those who claim to be Christians, outwardly appear to be Christians, yet are in fact counterfeits. You see how patient the farmer is. Rather than uprooting the field by pulling out the weeds, he waits and cares for the wheat until it's mature. He's willing to endure the hard labor of sorting at the end just so he can spare any of the wheat from being lost. So our Lord Jesus is willing to endure many problems and even scandals in the church rather than plowing it all under or extruding the wicked, since that might mean losing some of the weak in the church in the process. This also means that we should not become discouraged and cynical about the church and the questionable people we find here. Of course, there are hypocrites in church, since each one of us is indeed a poor, miserable sinner. We even admit that there are those in the church that are Christian in name only, but not at heart. And of course, only Jesus can see the heart. Therefore, ultimately, we know that Jesus will do the separating. Those who are not truly Christians will be disclosed and removed. And those who trust in him will be gathered together in a pure, uncontaminated bundle. Now let's pause here for a moment for a clarification in order to avoid misapplying this text. In this parable, the farmer tells his slaves not to weed out the tares, but to wait until the time of harvest. This is not in conflict with rightly conducted excommunication, a word we don't like to talk about. But we are taught in the Bible, in other places, such as Matthew 18 or 1 Corinthians 5, that when there is open and public unrepented sin, including false teaching, for instance, then the pastor in the congregation must deal with the impenitent sinner by uprooting, so to speak, and excluding him or her from the Lord's Supper. This is both for that person's sake, to bring them to their senses and to repentance, that is, in order to restore them in forgiveness and faith in Christ, but it's also for the sake of the other members of the congregation who might be tempted to fall into the same sin if it were ignored by the church and not dealt with. But these, however, are open, public, and obvious sins which reveal the unbelieving hearts of individuals and must be dealt with. There also exist the weedy, semi-hidden sins which we suspect but cannot prove, and which also commonly infest the church as it grows in our world today. That we must leave to Jesus. We cannot judge the hearts. Nevertheless, take heart, because one day all the wickedness and all of the lies, including those in our own hearts, will be taken away. And you who believe in Jesus will be glorified. Our epistle reading from Romans 8 fits well here. You heard these words. First of all, verse 18, Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And then a few verses later in Romans 8, Paul writes, "We ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." And then did you catch the very last words in our gospel, almost the last words? Jesus says, "The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." We, the righteous, have a future in store for us that is beyond our imagining. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. And what glory is it that the righteous will shine like the sun? It's beyond our imagination. But we must be careful again with that word righteous. The righteous are those who have ears to hear the words of Jesus, as Jesus says at the end of our gospel. And this is referring to faith, which comes by hearing the gospel. The righteous are those who do not seek a righteousness of their own. The righteous are not those who think that God owes them or that they deserve heaven because of their own goodness, but paradoxically, the righteous are those who know that they are not righteous apart from Jesus. Apart from Jesus, they are, in fact, weeds, not wheat. Remember in the parable, Jesus is the sower, the planter. Jesus has made you what you are. Namely, you are a forgiven child of God. Because the devil is always lurking around to plant bad seed through his lies, the righteous are always turning their ears back to the word and teaching of Jesus. And in fact, you cannot get the righteous away from Jesus' word. The righteous, the believers in Jesus, will demand to hear it, to read it, to eat and drink it even in the Lord's Supper. Because the righteous, the truly righteous, understand that they are not righteous at all apart from the one who died in their place on the cross and who rose again for them on the third day and who even now is seated at God's right hand waiting to come again to gather them up. These righteous are the ones who will shine in glory like the sun in the sky. These are the ones who are declared children of God the Father. So you, the baptized, who've been washed of your sins, you are the righteous, having been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. You who eat the body and blood of Jesus are righteous because the holy, righteous body of Jesus has gone into your body and has touched and purified you. And his life-giving blood has come into your mouth and has given you his life. And you have ears to hear the absolution and to believe it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I forgive you all your sins. And you say, Amen. You are the righteous. And you will shine like the sun in his kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.